This church exists to proclaim God's Word. I don't tell you how to vote, the kind of congregation I have. If I did, you'd vote the other way. Only on matters spiritual do you have to listen to the pastor and I'll obey, as bad as that word is, those that have rule over you, for they watch for your souls. What I'm about to say doesn't have anything to do with your souls. It just gives you a choice of being an idiot or not. Have to go back to Salem in the witch hunting days to match what's going on in the country today. Or more apropos, you have to go further back to the Star Chamber in Old England, which the memory thereof is why we have a Fifth Amendment. And why the presupposition in this country that we all are supposed to enjoy, you are innocent until proven guilty. In England, there was not too many church congregations could handle this discussion. It hadn't got enough hallelujahs and amen in it. But in Old England, there was a separation of the courts of law and courts of equity. And most of the time, the clergymen in Old England presided in courts of equity. Courts of law, the law says this, what does it say? And there's no equivocation or exemption from this application, even though one jurist once said, when told what the law was, he says, if that's the law, then the law's an ass. The law's the law. Thank God, He taught us a lesson through the Old Testament that none of us are going to make it if the law is applied in any dimension without measure. The letter killeth. And we have been taught through the Old Testament that the law by God's mouth sets a standard too high for any of us. And sin, very simply, is hamartia, to fall short. And a miss is as good as a mile. But because we be frail creatures before the law, courts of equity play God. Equity decides what's right, what's fair, and measures out equitably the consequences of action. And quite rightly, since they were supposed to speak for God, clergymen occupied the courts of equity. You went in to be tried under the law, attorneys were the judges. When equity was being measured, clergymen were the judges. In this country, probably one of the few things that I would have changed, but I'm a citizen of this country and I will live with what this country is, and it's immeasurably better in its history than any other. But like human beings, it has faults. In this country, we combined equity and law in the same courts. And since every man wants to play God, we have watched through the history decisions or case law apply more and more equity. No matter what the law says, equity will be applied, and sometimes mercy is given to people we don't think should have it. Equity and law in the same place. The Star Chamber And probably the principal reason for combining them here in this country. The Star Chamber was in the Court of Equity. Churchmen, who if they are given absolute authority in all dimension, are even bigger asses than attorneys. Because they really can believe they speak as God. The Star Chamber was part of the Court of Equity. And in the Star Chamber, they conceived the idea of an ex officio oath. Why, with Star's name being bandied around, someone hasn't brought this up is beyond me, which tells you how ignorant most of our legislators are. I mean, what better pun than a new Star Chamber headed by Investigator Star? The Star Chamber required what's called an ex officio oath. The ex officio oath you had to take when you came into the court. And the ex officio oath required you to tell the truth, the whole truth, like that froghead from Wisconsin who ought to be the voice on Louis and the Budweiser ad. You know, in the Bible, it was a miracle if an ass talked. Balaam's ass talked to him, and we consider it a miracle. Today, in the legislature, House of Representatives, it's a miracle if an ass doesn't talk. And if that froghead from Wisconsin that sits to the right of Hypocrite Hyde, if you don't like where I'm going, right there's the door. Because again, I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right. If that froghead from Wisconsin had his mouth vertical, he would look like the ass he is. No neck, pompous ass. Star Chamber. How'd you take an ex officio oath? In contrast to this country, you were presumed guilty until you proved your innocence. And since you were presumed guilty in the Star Chamber, and you took an ex officio oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God in this Court of Equity. For you not to confess your guilt was ipso facto, to use the Latin, lying. So if they could not demonstrate the guilt you were presumed to have, they didn't even bother to punish you for that. They punished you for not admitting your guilt, which the ex officio oath required you to do, since these sage and wise men knew you were guilty and you had to confess it because you had taken an oath to tell the truth. And you were always the best evidence against yourself. That's why we have a Fifth Amendment in this country. Amid all the rhetoric, everybody seems to forget. Listen, I've told you many times the difference between logic and rhetoric. If I were still doing what I was trained to do, teaching in university, I would at least have a shot at future lawyers in pre-law, because they would be required to take logic and I'd be the prof. In logic versus rhetoric, let me reverse it since that's what's being dished out. Rhetoric says, all men have two legs. This has two legs. Therefore, it's a man. Facts are, it's not. It's a pigeon. It sounds like logic, but it's not. All men have two legs. That's true. This has two legs. That's true. Therefore, this is a man. The assumptive jump, not true, to pigeon. Logic says, in reverse, or different from rhetoric, all men have two legs. Not next step, not this has two legs. All men have two legs, this is a man. True. Therefore, it has two legs. You can do the rhetoric without fact. All men have two legs. This has two legs. Therefore, it's a man. Not true. When you make the statement, you've eliminated the next step. All men have two legs must be followed with proving this is a man. When that's proven, then it can be deduced this man has two legs. All we've heard in a rabid attempt, and most America is going to be sleeping like the do-nothings the night Jesus was crucified. In this case, no attempt to compare Bill Clinton to Jesus, except in a rabid crucifixion, I would rather think in terms of the office. That's what's being crucified, the office of the president, in a rabid coup d'etat by a losing party who wants to remove the leadership elected by you. There's not a person in America, in my judgment, that didn't know the character of Bill Clinton when they elected him. He was a womanizer before, and he is now. If womanizers are going to be crucified and burned like the Inquisition in order to save people and allegedly the office, let's dig up John Kennedy from Arlington Cemetery and burn his bones. Let's tear down Thomas Jefferson's monument in Washington and say it looks too much like a phallic symbol, which he seemed to like, and forget all of the wonderful things that he wrote in the Declaration of Independence, and let's dig up Franklin Delano Roosevelt and forget that he brought us out of the Depression. This is a star chamber. And they are doing to the minds of America rhetorical assassination. Let me show you. All perjury is lies. Equivalent to all men have two legs. This man lied. Therefore he perjured himself. Not true. That's rhetoric. All perjury is lies. True. This man lied, therefore he perjured himself. Not necessarily true. Rhetoric. All perjury is lies. Here's logic. This man perjured himself to be proved in a court of law with witnesses, cross-examination, and all the rules of court. Just as I said, all men have two legs, this is a man, you prove it. Drop his pants. Because there are some women today that can fool you. All men have two legs. Drop your pants. I want proof. Well, so-and-so says, unbuckle the belt. Trial. Evidence. This is a man. Therefore, we can conclude. Two legs. If the criteria for impeachment is two legs, you got to prove It's a true two-legged creature. If the criteria is perjury, you've got to prove perjury. We are being brainwashed with know-nothing, though they know what they're doing. They're all attorneys, every one of them. There's been more lying the last week by the members on the Republican side of the Judiciary Committee than you could catalog in 600,000 pages in comparison to Bill Clinton, because every one of these men are attorneys, and every one of them know that all perjury is lies, but not all lies are perjury. They have said the man lied. He's admitted that he misrepresented, but he's not going to use the word of art. He was caught covering his tracks in a deposition, in a trial that the Supreme Court should never have allowed to happen to a sitting president, in a case that was dismissed for multiple reasons, in a trapped situation where the very investigator that spent $40 million to find him, through his agents, tipped him off to entrap and surprise Clinton. And which of you, and there are plenty, I know the guy that says, the pastor says, I got a brick here under my pulpit. And there's somebody in my church that's being unfaithful to their companion. I'm going to hit them in the head. Everybody in the church went under the pew. I would hate to ask how many of you have had an unfaithful affair. Maybe wised up and quit. Nobody questions it's wrong. But to have it is to take the first step that makes it easy, because you're already in deceit, to cover it. Nobody at first reaction is going to come forth and say, go tell my wife and my kids I had this affair. I still remember the dummy that had more teeth than brains that gave the Panama Canal away. Jimmy Carter. He's a wonderful, saintly man, and God bless him for building and peacemaking. But in his interview with Playboy, he's going to tell the truth. He thought adulterous thoughts. Well, that's true. There's not a one of you, if you take Jesus' standard of the law, to look with desire, even for a minute, is to commit adultery in your heart. As Jesus is trying to tell those self-righteous idiots of his day that nobody can rise to God's standard. Don't give me the law. God sees the heart. You say, thou shalt not kill. If you hate somebody in your heart, you're a murderer. I murder every friggin' day. But right now there is someone I hate so bad. If they happen to show up in heaven just to beg an entrance, I'm leaving. Someone I once loved who managed to absolutely prove the truth of how terrible hate can be when love turns to hate. Jesus says that's sin. That's the same as doing it in God's eyes, because He don't have this narrow spread of distance. You look with desire, and this girl goes by, and you see the little blob like a cartoon. And I even saw a cartoon once where a mortician, as a girl walks up by, he's standing out in front of his funeral home. The girl walks by, and he's got a cartoon picture above his head where she's naked on a slab. And I have learned through my days, you want somebody to be hard on a thief, let a thief sit in judgment on a thief. You want somebody to be hard on a liar, you let a liar sit in judgment on a liar. You want someone to be hard on an adulterer, you let an adulterer do it. I'm quite sure, as Clinton himself has said, if he had to do over again, he would do differently. If he was asked to step forward now and say, did you have sexual relations with that woman? He'd say, yeah, not as much as I wish I'd had, but... But he's in a catch-22, in a remote little case. He covered his asteroid. Now they want him, under Star Chamber rules, to stand up and admit it. Because they got Star sitting there, who then will come forth, and he's going to go to jail and be indicted if he admits it. If he doesn't admit it, no matter what the price, they have to prove it. They want to prove it. I remember when the senator from Utah said all he's got to do is say he's sorry. Well, he said, sorry, I'm sick of it. I wish I could get to him. I'd say, when are you going to come out swinging? When are you going to say I've said sorry? All I'm going to say is sorry. I'm going to fight for the presidency, and anybody gets in my road, I'm going to hit him with whatever stick I can grab hold of. Done. I'm tired of him blubbering. If he were to come now they want him to say, I lied. Talk about, they say, Clinton's people are splitting hairs. He's done everything except use the word lie. Well, that's the whole issue. He didn't lay with her. Almost, but not quite. He was standing up talking on the phone. And I'm using biblical language about sex. For no more sex than he got, he has suffered immeasurably. I mean, the whole nation ought to let them both go in for 24 hours in the Oval Office and everybody stay away so at least he can get something for what the price is that he's paying. And they can quote around this nation one of the few times I want the title used. The Reverend Dr. Gene Scott said that. Star Chamber Inquisition with utter disregard to this nation. Why do you think Saddam Hussein has blocked the inspectors again? And look at the catch-22. He knows that if Clinton does anything, these same lying, no-neck monsters will recite the movie. Whatever it is, wag the dog. They just want him out. It reminds me of Loyola's inquisitors. You know what the truth is, so you burn this person at the stake until he confesses the truth. To save his soul, you destroy his body. They did it to the witches, I repeat, in Salem. They did it in the Star Chamber. If they wouldn't admit their guilt, they'd burn them at the stake for violating their ex officio oath because they had to lie. They must have lied. They didn't confess their guilt. Clinton has said everything except what will put him in prison. And now these know-nothing lawyers want him to come out and say. And when he says that, I can absolutely guarantee if he's fool enough to come before the cameras and say, I lied. A word that in the trial a judge is going to have to define. These lawyers are saying he's splitting hairs over words. That's what every case in the history of legality and lawsuits and Supreme Court appeals and appellate courts, every one of them hang on splitting hairs about words. And you don't know that, but every one of these lying lawyers sitting there playing self-righteous games know it. The curse of this country's lawyers sitting in that House of Representatives because they know how to lie better than anybody. And they've met their match in Clinton and they don't like it. Can you imagine this country being paralyzed and pulled down by a majority of lawyers who have made their living lying and politicians who got there by lying, destroying this country over a lie about sex? Perjury, and all perjury, is lies. But all lies are not perjury. Perjury must be proven in a court of law. The articles of impeachment are not saying he lied, he misled, and therefore we ask the Senate to have a trial to determine if his lies are perjury, which, as the Democrats quite rightfully said, would require exact itemization of every statement alleged to be perjurious. And then, under the rules of law, if those so-called false and lying statements are deemed perjury, you then can conclude perjury. They have simply demonstrated less than the whole truth, deliberate attempts which every one of those attorneys sitting there sometime in their career has told a client that goes to a discovery session, which is nothing but a fishing expedition, which is not allowed in this country, don't say anything you don't have to say. The very first lawsuit Gene Scott was ever involved in, my attorney, Tom Corkin, Oroville, California, said to me, "Gene, you are too honest. Now, I'm worried about you in this deposition. If they ask you a question and you cannot unequivocally and absolutely, with no possibility of exception, say yes, then say no. You don't owe them their work. They're on a fishing expedition. You don't owe them information they can't find on their own. And just don't give too much away." Every lawyer sitting in that judicial committee has told their clients, if they didn't, they ought to be sued for malpractice, has told their clients, evade the truth. Don't tell them anything that you don't have to tell them. Don't do their work for them. This is not a star chamber. This is not old England. That's why we had a revolution, and that's why we have a paper between us and those fools that sit in there and eat up our money and hunt for time in front of the camera. They're frothing at the mouth for you to see them, and they don't know we're looking at the ass side of them. Now, I've never told you how to vote, but for the sake of the Constitution, the sake of sanity, and the sake of this country, don't let those fools brainwash you. And let your voice be heard in email, letters, phone calls. Organize, put some of these guys' phones so busy that they will have to tell the truth because they haven't got time to think up a new lie. This is a shabby scene for the world to look on. And these hypocrites, Henry Hyde, he had an affair, an adulterous affair. And he cavalierly waves it off. My youthful indiscretion was a long time ago. Well, he was about the same age as Clinton when it happened. He needs to go on a diet. If he looked like Clinton, he might still be having affairs. Basically, I know men. That's why, single as I am and a preacher, I'm doing this to them all the time. They're sitting there in front of the camera drooling, probably playing with themselves and cursing this preacher. They're so jealous they can't stand themselves. Here's a guy that plays a know-nothing Italian, but he's a genius that makes everybody mad, putting women down. And who? No, not Columbo. Who? Andrew Dice Clay. He said they ought to give him a medal for having an affair with the women he's been having it with. And then he described the nose of one of them. And I'm inclined to agree. You know, I don't know how they accomplish what they do with a nose like that. No. This preacher wasn't born yesterday. Men are so jealous. The thing that's wrong with all of those fat heads, in most cases, is what they go home to. We are setting a precedent where, without Supreme Court appeal, the balance of power that has held this country together for over 200 years is about to be mocked and destroyed until we are, by simply ignoring what's going on because we're sick of it, letting a parliamentary system take over in this country never, ever conceived by the founders. Alexander Hamilton, you know, paid and bribed to try to hide his own affair. One of our presidents used to hide behind the curtains and pick off girls on the tour of the White House. It's always going on. Doesn't make it right. John Kennedy didn't think a sexual affair was any more important than swimming the length of the pool. Find something better than this to eject the president over. And we're setting the stage for a losing party. If they can vote out impeachment articles on such a trivial matter as this, and absolutely violating every principle of fairness, deny the right of the members to vote at the same time on a censure, and again, it's rhetoric. The Constitution does not provide for a censure. The Constitution provides for the Congress to do anything that is not prohibited by the Constitution. The Constitution gives them the orders to impeach if the cause is right and the cause is named and it sure isn't having an affair and then lying about it. It doesn't give them the right to vote a censure because they can or cannot. They aren't ordered to do it. They have a duty to look at the impeachment matter. They have the right to do what they want as long as it's not unconstitutional, which includes a censure motion. This is a crucifixion in a wild hunt for power, and we will be in a parliamentary system that has weakened Italy, weakened other countries for years, where if you don't like what the president's doing, why do you think we can't have peace in the Middle East? Reagan's over there now. Netanyahu will be voted out under that system if he doesn't appease the radicals in his party. That's what is being fostered on us right now. A bunch of losers led by the religious right, and that's the worst tyranny in the world. Hitler was religious. You may not believe it, but he was wrapped up in religious symbols. That's the basis of truth behind Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's why in Britain, they knew the most precious thing to hide was that stone that was under the chair now in Scotland that will come back when a new king is crowned in England. That stone called Jacob's Pillar, on which the kings have sat above in the chair for their coronations in every case. And dating clear back through the kings of Scotland, Ireland, and before Jeremiah brought it to Ireland, the kings in old Israel. They knew that rock held England together. And that's what Hitler wanted above all. So they hid it and sent documents to Canada during the war in case England fell and the war eventually was won against Hitler. Those who had the documents in Canada could come forth, retrieve the stone, and restore it to its coronation place. Hitler was religious. Evil men like Absalom love to use religion to verify their case. This country is being ripped apart, and because it's such a tawdry matter, people are not showing any passion about it. You better show as much passion as I do. I've hated Clinton. Haven't liked him from the day he came. But I always, on grounds of principle, have to fight. And usually you are fighting for someone that is disliked by the majority. In this case, I was in the minority. The majority say they're for him. Well, where's your gonads? The majority that boasts these polls every day. When are you going to get up and be counted? And start writing letters to your congressmen telling them you've got a calendar now, you're counting the day until they come up for election. Because they're destroying the fabric of this country and sitting there lying to you every time they open their mouth and their self-righteous pronouncements, not telling you as attorneys who have a duty to share their knowledge with you, their constituents, perjury is lying. But not all lying in every case is perjury. And we haven't proved perjury, therefore that charge should not come from our lips. And with that, I'm done. It's offering time. Double hypocrite. He sang a totally opposite tune about lying when Reagan was on trial, lying about Iran-Contra. It goes with the territory. These holier-than-thou idiots would abolish the CIA. This religious right attempt to legislate morality has made us second rate in competing with security and secret services around the globe. The name of the game is deceive. It's like going out on the football field and saying, you've got an unbalanced line here. Now, you're a Christian. Before I smash your face in, tell me, are you telling the truth? Because it looks like, with the way you're lined up, you're going to go to the right. Now, the last time you did that, you went to the left. Thou shalt not lie. It's insanity. That's the rule of the game. Magic Johnson was the biggest liar on the basketball court that ever lived. He never, ever threw the ball the way he looked. But we call him Magic. Because you think it's going to go there, and it went over there. And we pay him millions. You're supposed to lie on the basketball court. It's the rule of the game. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. What I'm saying applies nonpartisan. And we are being snowed under with partisans claiming to be nonpartisan. They're hypocrites. The chairman, having been adulterous, should have disqualified himself. The chairman either should have stuck to his guns since the Democrat is there and said there are grades of lying, or disqualified himself. This hypocrisy is worse than Jimmy Swaggart. And I'm sick of it. Now, whatever you are, Republican, Democrat, or Independent, doesn't matter. But if you're against what I said and try to take something out of this offering, I hope the guy sitting next to you takes your arm off at the armpit. So you watch them close. After that speech, if you don't see their hand go toward the offering bag, probably something wrong with them. Thanks for your response. I'm glad I got an intelligent congregation. Now we'll get on with the spiritual purposes for being here. The worship of giving. And I'd rather